You to turn in your Bibles to Revelation 21. That's on page 1041, 1041 of your pew Bibles. This is the New Testament commentary on Psalm 122, one of the New Testament commentaries. You know, in Psalm 122, we read about Jerusalem, and here we read about the New Jerusalem. So that's one way Scripture describes heaven. To understand the New Jerusalem, it's important we understand the historic holy city of Jerusalem, but it's vital as well for us to catch a glimpse of what glory will be like with Christ. So hear God's word, Revelation 21, 9 through 27. This is the word of God. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies 4 square, its length the same as its width, and he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall, 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is a Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen to this reading of God's holy, divinely inspired word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we humbly pray that you would open our eyes, that we might behold wondrous things from your law. Pray that we would see the sure, strong, saving love of Christ, the work of your Holy Spirit in helping to conform us to the image of Christ. Pray as well, Father, that we would see that scriptural promise of heaven, where we will be forever with the Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the sermon is based on Psalm 122, so turn back in your Bibles and keep them open as we study God's Word together. But let me begin, as I did with the young men, let me begin to ask you to fill in your own word for the blank in this sentence. I was glad when they said unto me. What word would you fill in there? I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the golf course. Let's go to the garage sale. Let's go to the movies. Let's go to a nice dinner. Let's go to the beach. Let's go to the mountains. You know, here again, that opening verse of Psalm 122, verse 1, a verse well worth memorizing, meditating upon, not only on Sunday, but throughout the week. You know, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. As already mentioned, Psalm 122 is the third of the pilgrim psalms, psalms of ascent. We began with Psalm 120. We are to be pursuing God's peace. And Psalm 121, we are to be finding security in God's sovereignty. And now in Psalm 122, we are to be going to the house of the Lord, going to the house of the Lord for worship. You know, Walter Kaiser, in his wonderful little book about the Psalms of Ascent, it's entitled The Pilgrim Psalms for Life's Challenges and Joys, writes this: of all the pilgrim psalms, this, Psalm 122, is the pilgrim psalm. You know, we see the pilgrims headed up to Jerusalem. It's a psalm of David. We'll see one more psalm of David in the Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 133. But remember, King David's desire to build that temple for the Lord, and God would not allow him to do that because of all the blood he had shed in warfare. He especially wanted a place for the Ark of the Covenant, that vital representation that a holy God was present with his beloved people. You know, in Psalm 122, we hear David's heartfelt and holy desire to go to the house of the Lord, to Jerusalem, you know, to worship the Lord his God. The temple had not yet been built, but it seems that the Ark of the Covenant was there, that David knew by God's grace that the temple would be built. This would be the visible representation of God's holy presence with his people. And how does this apply to us today? Application here at the front end. You know, let us gladly go to the Lord's house with a readiness to worship. Well, how can we be always ready for glad worship in the Lord's house? You know, three sections, three strophes here in Psalm 122. There is to be an anticipation in those first two verses, and then adoration in verses 3 through 5, and finally assurance of worshiping the Lord. We begin with that glad anticipation of arriving at the Lord's house. Note again, Psalm 122 starts with that personal pronoun. I was glad. I rejoiced when they, presumably the fellow pilgrims, when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You know, worship here starts with gladness. You know, these pilgrims of faith are headed up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. You know, they went up to Jerusalem at least three times a year, Passover, Feast of Weeks, Feast of Booths. You know, gospel-fueled gladness. They didn't have to drum up this gladness. Just as they remembered God's steadfast love, his faithfulness, you know, they went to worship gladly. You know, it's as well a corporate pilgrimage. They said to me, and then let us go to the house of the Lord. You'll see that expression used a few times, as well as in verse 9, the house of the Lord our God. There is no temple yet. And yet it seems to be a prophecy pointing ahead to the building of the temple, reminding us that the Lord is graciously present with his people. There's as well a glad anticipation of arriving in Jerusalem. Verse 2, you know, ESV translates it, our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. We have that picture that they seem to be already there in Jerusalem. I would lean towards the King James translation. Our feet shall stand within your gates. They're not in Jerusalem yet. They're proceeding up. They have been lifting up their eyes onto the hills from where their help comes. It comes from the Lord. And with a confident faith in the Lord, they can already say, our feet will be or shall stand within the gates, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Alec Motier has this helpful comment. It's an expression of wondering joy. You know, too good to be true. Yeah, we're finally making it to Jerusalem. You know, Jews to this day, again, if you see the movie Fiddler on the Roof, you know, what's their expression? You know, on the Passover or on the Sabbath day, next year in Jerusalem. They were anticipating, you know, arriving at the Lord's house in Jerusalem. You know, this is the first mention of Jerusalem in these pilgrim psalms. It's not only the capital of Israel, do you think of politics. More importantly, it's the city of David. Remember his conquest of the Jebusites. And to take it a step further, it's God's city where his house will be located for worship by his redeemed people. You know, for those of you who keep sermon notes, you know, I preached on this psalm, Psalm 122, on May the 17th, 2020. If you remember back, and I'll refresh our memories. Our church had been live streaming, you know, for 7 weeks. We had a handful of people here. You know, I was here, Lynn was here, we had our worship team. Jason, again, wore both hats, did the sound system. You know, and then finally on May the 17th, the government, no political comment here, you know, lifted some of the restrictions, and I think we were able to have 20 people or so in our church. And, you know, it's a joy to have 20 people here. If you remember, if you looked on live stream, I actually put your names on pieces of paper where you sat so I could remember, so I wasn't preaching in my mind's eye to an empty sanctuary. You know, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. What a glad occasion it was for us to gather again for corporate worship. You know, Hebrews 10 puts it this way. Hebrews 10, and when I start reading it, it'll be familiar to you. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know, there is to be a glad anticipation of worship each Lord's Day. And to make it practical for you parents, you know, and our children are grown now, we could have done a better job to say, you know, isn't it great that we can gather together on the Lord's Day? Rather than saying, oh, we got to go to church today, put your clothes on, we got to leave, you know, in 3 minutes, you know, to say, man, we get to go to church today to worship the Lord, to say it to spouses. Maybe your spouse is tired, struggling, you know, and for the Lord to use you to encourage your spouse, your loved one, to say, man, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. You know, we gather to feast on God's word, to give God all the glory and honor and praise for his love for us in Christ, to rejoice in our Redeemer. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. A glad anticipation of arriving at the Lord's house. But now in verses 3 through 5, we see a glad adoration of the Lord by all of God's people. You know, here in verse 3, it's almost as if we have a snapshot, literally a drone view of Jerusalem. You know, you're looking down upon the city of Jerusalem, and you can see it's built, it's well built, it's a beautiful city. And then this phrase that is bound firmly together. You know, there is a holy unity there. In Jerusalem, and actually, if you go to Jerusalem, it has a small footprint. Much of Jerusalem still bound by walls, but there is a holy unity. We see a picture of it in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. They're rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem after it had been destroyed. Nehemiah 4, verse 6, so we built the wall, and the wall was joined together. That's the phrase, joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. You know, there's a solidarity as they gather together to worship the Lord. Verse 4, you know, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of Israel. You know, you remember, you go back to Genesis 49, Jacob blesses his sons. 12 sons, 12 tribes of Israel. And when you study scripture, you'll see that there were significant tribes like Judah. But then there were small, seemingly insignificant tribes like Benjamin. Although each tribe was different, they were united in their walk of faith up to Jerusalem. They were united in their worship of God. Many differences between us here in the church, economic, political, music, you name it. You know, but what unifies us as a people of God, it's when we come together to worship the Lord. One heart, one voice, one purpose, to give God all glory, honor, and praise. Back to verse 4, as was decreed for Israel. It was God's ordinance. He had revealed it, graciously revealed it in his holy word. His holy word guides our worship. One of the chief purposes then, as these tribes gather together, as we gather together, according to God's word, is to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Much we could say about worship, but that's here at the top of the list. To give thanks to the name of the Lord. You know, to give God all glory, laud, and honor. To gladly worship him. You know, we see this same truth in David. The ark is placed in a tent there in Jerusalem. And what is David's immediate response? He breaks out into song. 1 Chronicles 16:8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. You know, we come to worship gladly. We come to worship to give thanks to the Lord, that he is our God, God who created us in his image, God who has redeemed us in Christ, the God who graciously rules and reigns over us. And we see that there in verse 5, another reason for adoration. Speaking of Jerusalem, you know, there thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. You know, the righteous reign of Israel's divinely designated king. You know, but one of the charges that was given to the king was to dispense God's justice. Jim Boyce has a great gospel insight. He writes, "Dispensing justice is one of two God-given functions of right government. The other is defending its citizens against violence, either from within or without." You know, a helpful reminder, you know, in our day and age here in America in 2022. You know, yes, we are to be those submissive citizens here. Look at Romans 13 that we studied a few months back. The thrones of the house of David. You know, here is a glimpse at Christ. You know, Christ, who as the Son of Man was descended from David, but Scripture tells us as well that, you know, Christ was the root of David, the seed. You know, and so here, as the Son of Man, Christ was descended from David. Christ, even now, sits on the throne in glory, ruling and reigning over us. You know, many people have questions about Revelation. Was talking with someone about that, not from church, just the other day. You know, but two things to keep in mind as you go through Revelation. It really teaches us about Christ. You know, he's the one at the center of Revelation, and it teaches us about worship. Revelation 7:17, as we think about Christ and worship, "For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." You know, each Lord's Day we come together as a body of believers in Christ by God's gracious invitation. Come, you know, let us bow down and worship the Lord. You know, we gladly give thanks to the name of the Lord, youngest to oldest, poorest, richest, the most educated, least educated. You know, we come together by God's grace to offer our glad adoration to the Lord. We give thanks to the name of the Lord. If you have time today, this week, or as you're going through Scripture, you know, think about some of the scriptural names for God. Have a legal pad. I mean, it's a long list. But just to give you a sampling, you know, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's our great provider. The Lord our righteousness. The Lord our redeemer. You know, the Lord our shepherd. There in Psalm 23, and then it's connected to John chapter 10, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. That's our Lord. We give thanks to the name of the Lord. You know, it's good to keep in mind. no, 3 funerals in June. Just in a few short weeks. Funerals for Sharon Green, for Donna Votro, Mary Lee's sister, and then for Seth Biedo, his pastor from Shreveport, Howard Davis. By God's grace, conducted the funeral. And side note, that was in God's providence, one of the ways that the Lord used for me to be here as your pastor in Opelousas. You know, it's good to grieve. You know, we as Christians grieve, and that's not a sin. It's a helpful and a holy thing. But as well, we are called to give God all glory. We're called to thank. Think of Job. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, sometimes it's hard to give thanks. You know, I'm sure you've had those days. I know I've had them. Your well seems dry. But we give thanks to the Lord that one day, by His grace, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, and that's a good thing. And what's our only hope in life and in death? You know, it's there in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. You know, for our sake He made Him, that is Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. You know, there's a reason for glad adoration, for thanksgiving to the Lord. So glad anticipation, glad adoration, finally in verses 6 through 9. There is a glad assurance of God's peace and protection in Jerusalem. Verse 6 begins actually with a command to all of God's people, to the church as it were. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Yes, I believe we should still pray for the present-day Jerusalem. But as we begin to scratch the scriptural surface here, I believe Jerusalem as well reminds us of the church. You know, we are to be praying for Christ's church, for peace. You know, peace is not just the absence of conflict. That word shalom, we're praying for God's sure presence. May they be secure. May they be at ease. May they be spiritually prosperous who love you, who love the city of Jerusalem, who love the church, who love the King and head of the church. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are specifically to be praying for peace within your walls, security within your borders. And now we can better understand, better biblical understanding, that here it's referring to the church. You know, part of worship is praying for the church, peace within the church, a prayer that our strong and sovereign God would guard His church, as we read in Revelation 21, His bride. His beloved bride, from the brutal spiritual attacks of Satan. You know, and again, you know, those days are coming if they're not here with us. You know, to be praying for peace within in our walls, the walls of the church, not only Hope Church, but all churches who believe the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God, those who believe that Christ is indeed the way, the truth, and the life. You know, those who confess that we are sinners saved by grace through faith in Christ. You know, pray for the peace of that church, the one true church. You know, pray that the church, and yes, including our church, Christ's church, pray that our church would always be marked by praise, by holy justice, by prayer, by peace. Peace be within your walls. You know, pray too that false teachers, savage spiritual wolves, and destructive heresy would be defeated by the faithful teaching of God's word. We can never let down our spiritual guard. And especially in prayer. You know, pray for the sword of the Spirit and the holy weapon of prayer. Continue in prayer there in verse 8. Pray for solidarity. You know, back to the singular, for my brothers and companions or friends' sake, I will say, surely may peace be within you. We're connected to one another in the church. We're part of the body of Christ, with Christ being the head. And we are to pray for one another. You know, peace be within you. You know, three times in three verses, that word, peace. We should enjoy peace with one another in the church because of our peace with Christ. Again, going back to Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, a promise of David there in verse 9. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. You know, David here is praying for the good of the church. Now, they didn't have the church, but it's pointing us ahead to Christ's church. For the sake of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good. You know, David rests and rejoices in God's assurance that he hears our prayers, he gives us peace, he graciously protects us. You know, David prayerfully seeks God's good plan for Israel, the city of God. And yes, it reminds us to pray for the church. Pray that we would always be scripturally grounded, God honoring, Christ glorifying in our worship. You know, pray that we would always be walking in faith together in Christ. You know, pray that the word of God would always be proclaimed, not only from the pulpit, but in our homes, in Sunday school, Bible studies. You know, pray that we would always be witnesses for Christ. Now, let me make a summary statement and a few scriptural remarks about Revelation 21, a few applications, illustration. Psalm 122 points us not only to glad worship in Jerusalem and in the church, you know, but it also points us ahead to heaven. That's why it was important that we read Revelation 21, 9 through 27, you know, there in the beginning we read of the bride, the wife of the Lamb, and that's the church, that's us. We're the bride of Christ. You know, we're the beloved one of the Lamb of God. And it speaks of the new Jerusalem. You know, as we understand Psalm 122, believe we have a better understanding of what heaven is like. You know, still a place with glorious walls, gates to protect. You know, in heaven, it's better security than, what, ADT or you name it. You know, we're safe there. That's a great comfort. Satan can't tempt us, trip us up, no sin in heaven. You know, then in Revelation 21, 22, all the things we will not see in the New Jerusalem. No temple. The Lord is a temple. No sun in heaven. Thank the Lord. And I believe no high humidity in heaven. No moon in heaven. You know, why is that? Remember earlier psalm, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Nothing unclean in heaven. You know, but what will we see? We'll see the glory of God, the gracious Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Best of all, we'll know that glad assurance that our names have been written in the Lamb's book of life. Remember what John the Baptist said of Jesus there early on in Jesus' ministry, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, our names are written in the Lamb's book of life because of the Lord's love for us in Christ. And we see that at the cross. You know, there his blood was shed for our sins. He took the wrath of God that was rightly due unto us. He died on the cross, buried in the tomb, so that we will never endure God's holy judgment that way. Yes, we will die, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That sure hope of glory. Now, I've been wanting to sing Almost Home for a few weeks. Lynn and I heard it a few months ago. Ties in so well to our series here on Psalms of Ascent. And ultimately with the Psalms of Ascent, Pilgrim Psalms, where are we headed? You know, not just to church. That's a great thing. But we're headed to glory with Christ, home with the Lord. It's the way we ought to view life. We're almost home, Lord. Not just starting a journey. You know, Christ could come any day. Christ could call any of us home, you know, even this afternoon. You know, and are we ready? Are we longing with a glad anticipation, ready for that glad adoration, going with that glad assurance? Let me read. We already sung it twice, but let me read that first verse again. And we can send you the link so you can listen to the music. It's on the church Facebook page. Not that I'm endorsing everything Facebook, sermon for another time, but hear that first verse. Don't drop a single anchor. We're almost home through every toil and danger. We're almost home. How many pilgrim saints have before us gone unto glory? No stopping now. We're almost home. Then the chorus, almost home. We're almost home. So press on toward that blessed shore. Oh, praise the Lord. We are almost home. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for that promise of Christ. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. Thank you that you have prepared for us that place by your death for our sins, your resurrection from the grave. Thank you that Jesus, the righteous one, suffered, died for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. And Lord, as we travel forward in this pilgrimage of faith, Lord, remind us, encourage us, strengthen us that we're almost home, that one day we will be forever with the Lord. Lord, may we be found faithful on this pilgrimage, Lord. May there even now be a longing in our heart for glory. And Lord, use us even now, not only in our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, but in our witness to the gracious, redeeming love of God in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.